The sun shines bright in the old Kentucky home. 'Tis summer and everyone's gay. The corn tops bright and the meadows in the bloom, while the birds make music all the day.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. I'd like to welcome all the degenerates in the studio right now, as well as the ones we'll be talking to on the phone over the next hour. And we're going to try to figure out who's going to win this Kentucky Derby. Sitting over on my left here, from Love Songs on the Coast, everyone remembers Ted Ziegenbusch. Yes, nice to see you, man.
Hey, nice to see you.
And also, the guy who owns, I don't know what that website is, westsiderentals.com. Mark Verge, who gave me a tip last Sunday. He said, bet on a horse called Harleen. And this guy's given me so many bum tips in the past. I only put 10 across on it. It wins and pays $69.20.
$69.20.
And you know, my computer froze there at the end where it was crossing the finishing line. And, or the finish line. Bang.
We won.
Computer froze. All right, Mark Verge, welcome. Ted Ziegenbusch.
Thank you.
And let's check in with one of the funniest men on the planet and the funniest man in my house growing up. Ladies and gentlemen, my brother Patrick, how are you? Sorry, this is my dad, Tim. Tim Conway, everybody.
Very amusing. Yes. First of all, I'd like to thank Ted because, you know, you passed that horse on to me. And normally those things go.
Oh, yeah, no, that was Mark Verge. Yeah, Mark passed that
Mark
horse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Your old buddy Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry. Well,
and
thanks,
so I gave that horse to my dad and thinking, you know, my dad's worth, you know, some say like $200 million.
Yeah, who says that?
But I think you ended up betting 10 across, right?
No, I had 20 across.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
I go for any tip that comes down the pike. Anybody that mentions anything.
I was at the Santa Anita or Hollywood Park. I think it was Santa Anita. And there was a guy in the bathroom not feeling well. And I believe he was in the bathroom, in the stall, not feeling well. And I came back and I said, hey, Dad, I think there's a guy throwing up in the bathroom. And he's yelling out to another friend of his, go ahead and bet this horse, bet this horse. And my dad's like, well, which one did he like?
Well, I figure anybody who's that sick must know something. You know?
We're taking a tip from a guy throwing up at the track.
Ah.
Yeah. Hey, you had a chance to take a look at these?
I certainly did, yeah.
All right. We're
Well, first of all, it's a busy day, as you know, for me tomorrow because it's an important day. Now, I got my lucky pants are all set up, and I got those pressed and everything. And I call them my lucky pants because when I was in New York one time, I bet a $20 five-horse exacta box. Now, for some reason, I thought that that was going to come to about $120, but I think it came to something like $280 or something. I was going to cash it in, and I said, no, by golly, you lay it down, that's it. This has got to be the big one.
Right.
And I came within one horse of winning almost $1,800. So those are my lucky pants. That's the closest I have ever come to something that big. So I wear those tomorrow. Now, you know, Charlene gave away my lucky shoes, which really annoyed me. The ones that I stepped in the horse manure with and kept in the tin box. And she gave those away. So I don't know what I'm going to do for shoes tomorrow.
My dad had when he was at Hollywood Park, he would have a ritual. And whatever he did before he won that race, he'd have to do it again. And at one point, he went to the men's room, right? And then he came back after the second race, and he says, I think somebody at the racetrack is using that stall because they know that's my lucky stall. And I'm sure he works for Hollywood Park.
And I'll tell you how lucky that was. We made a movie out of that and put it in the movie, and the movie bombed. So give you an idea how it was going.
All right, so what do you like here? Anything interesting?
I'm gonna stick with Kentus Armbo. I'm through with the horses. I'm just going with riders now. I had enough of this horse business. Yeah,
right.
I'm just gonna go with Big Brown because Kent's doing so well. Pyro is my other choice. I'm just betting probably a $40,000 box on 920 or a $2 box. Probably it'll be one of those two.
Right.
Too.
All right. Well, yeah. I would hold on to some money, you know, because
oh gosh, yes.
This radio gig is not enough for everybody in the family. This is actually a true story. I called my dad from Caesar's Palace about 10 years ago. And I called him on the morning of the Kentucky Derby. And I said, "Hey, Dad, who do you like?" And he said, "Well, give me the 3, 4, 6 trifecta box." And I said, "All right, let me get a pen and write this down." And he says, "Tim, it's 10 in the morning. Are you drinking?" And I said, "Well, no." I said, "He goes, you getting up and drinking?" I said, no. I haven't gone to bed since last night. I mean, there's something weird about waking up and drinking, but if you drink through the whole night and you're still drinking in the morning, something cool about that.
Yeah,
I guess.
Clear.
Right. The stigma is when you get up and drink, but if you're up for 2 days drinking, it's like, guy's enjoying himself. All right, so Big Brown tomorrow.
My
father had a license plate for a long time until the state of California took it away from him. But it was one long shot, one LNGSHT.
Yeah.
And you could probably imagine why the state ended up taking the license plate away from him. Yeah. Where are we going to watch this? You want to come over? You want me to slide over?
I'll be here. I know that. All right. Have it on now. I got the set warming up, you know.
All right, perfect. My father has set up his office exactly like a TV, like an old, what do they call them? What was the off-track betting in New York? It's called OTB.
OTB.
Yeah, he sets it up exactly like OTB, including the homeless guy who was sitting on the floor up there. No, but it is. It's like an OTB there. All right, so I'm going to slide by tomorrow then.
Okay.
And we'll try to figure this out.
Yeah, I have to get to bed now, so I'll try to talk to you a little tomorrow then, okay?
Wait, what's playing in the background?
I don't know. It must be a religious show I usually set the alarm for.
Clean up the rails.
shoot. Okay.
I'm in the same church.
I haven't even left.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
All right, take care. He's actually betting Australia.
No kidding.
Or China. All right. So my dad's going Big Brown. All right, let's talk to Ted Ziegenbusch here. He's not a degenerate like Mark and Mark Verge and everybody else.
Sorry about that. I've got to work at it.
Yeah, Ted Ziegenbusch is out there with a button-down shirt that's always nice and pressed, and everybody else is smoking and drinking and spitting, and he's looking at the forum and winning money. All right, who do you like? How do you see the race shaping up tomorrow?
Okay, I like Colonel John, and it's a little bit of a sentimental pick because I think I told you, I know Kenny Trout, the breeder, from Windstar. And Kenny's a sharp business guy. And he's wanted a Derby winner for a long time. He's been thinking about that for 10 years and pointing in that direction. And I watched Colonel John win the Santa... Well, you were
there. I was there, too.
Santa
Anita
Derby. I was down near the track, and I watched him before the race out on the track, and I watched him come back after running, you know, the mile and an eighth.
Right.
And
he's still moving?
He looked like, let's go around again.
Is that right?
You know, he's so relaxed.
Right.
So classy on the track, and he ducked out a little bit coming down the stretch in that race, but he went by the horse that he had to get by.
Right.
And I think he's going to have no problem with the distance and, you know, the class. So,
all right, Colonel John.
Colonel John.
How about the long shot?
Well, you know, I like your dad's choice of Big Brown. I like him second. Okay. I just don't think from the 20 spot, you know, that's going to be a heck of a...
You know what? When you see track and field, when these guys are running track and field, and they're running, you know, the 440 or the 100 meter, whatever, the mile run, they stagger them on the track. So every runner is running the same distance.
Sure.
They should do that with horse racing when you have 20 horses. Because the horse in the 20 hole, which is Big Brown, has to literally run 80 feet more than the one horse. Because the one horse, you figure there's about 4 feet for every gate. So that's 80 feet that horse has to run that the one horse doesn't have to. They should stagger that a little.
Yeah, talk to the guys that did the poly track. They're good at convincing people.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, they're good at changing a sport that hasn't changed in 200 years.
Yeah, and I guess Cowboy Cal is an outsider. You know, that's...
All right, so you got Colonel John and Big Brown. Are you 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And that's very conservative from a very conservative man. Now the lunatic, Mark Verge... is probably going to try to bet on a horse that's not even entered.
I absolutely love Z Fortune.
All right, Z Fortune.
I love him. And the long shot, Visionaire.
And Visionaire?
Yes, but you know, Big Brown, the trainer, rumor has it, he bet $160,000 on a horse called St. Liam in the Breeders' Cup 2 years ago and won. And he's betting $200,000 on this horse, Big Brown. Absolutely loves him.
But see, here's the problem I think Big Brown's going to have. In the 1918, I think in the 16 or 17, there's three holes out there that all have speed. So they're going to keep him, away from coming in on these other horses.
I agree.
He might be 7 or 8 lengths wide going into the first turn. And he's going to run 2 races. I mean, he's going to be slapping, beer cups out of people's hands.
Now, I'm not a big fan of his, but the trainer is putting $200,000 on him. Absolutely loves this horse. He's already feeding it through.
All right, folks, let's talk to one of the great jockeys in thoroughbred racing here in Southern California. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Greider. Aaron, how are you, sir?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, fantastic.
That's great.
Now, are you, you're in Kentucky, all ready to go?
No, I'm actually in California, not riding this year.
You know what?
I'm ready to go for Hollywood Park.
Well, those sons of bitches made a big mistake, man. Because if I had a horse, I wouldn't run him in the Kentucky Derby unless you were on board.
I'm going to hold you to that. I hope you get a good one.
Good job, Aaron.
All right. So, how do you see this horse shape, this race shaping up? And what do you think about Big Brown coming out of that 20 hole again? Probably what 80 feet away from the rail.
Truthfully, I don't think it's a problem. I think a lot of people that are looking at. I had a couple friends of mine call me and say, "Oh, Big Brown's dead. He's got no shot from the 20 hole." To me, I think it's an advantageous post for him. They had other post positions they could have taken inside of that.
Right.
A few others when they chose the 20 hole, they specifically did it because they wanted to be outside of their speed horses. And most of the speed is within the first 4 lanes of them. You know, they're in the 19, the 18, I think the 16. You know, most of the speed is within 5 gates of them. Those horses aren't going to stay out in the 16 paths. They're not going to stay on the 19 path. They might for a while, because if I was on Gallego being Mike Smith, I would say, you know what, I'm going to stay out here because I'm going to outrun probably 15 of the horses inside me because I'm faster than them. But I'm going to make Ken DeSormo and Big Brown make a decision. He's either going to think, wait a minute, is he not going to drop in? I better take back, or I better go on and maybe use my horse a little bit more. So he might be forced to make a decision a little bit sooner, but I really don't think it's going, once you get to the wire, you're going to see those horses, they're going to drop down to the rail, and it's going to be a pretty easy transition for Big Brown to get down there. And I don't see him being any more than 4 or 5 wide going into the first turn.
Right.
It's not going to be anything like when Brother Derek ran, and he was probably 11 or 12 wide going into the first turn. This is a race where there's 4 or 5 speed horses, but a couple of those horses that show speed in the past aren't true speed horses. I mean, you look at their fractions, they're just not as fast. So, I mean, are they going to sacrifice just to be in front of Big Brown? I don't know, but I really don't think it'll be a problem. Ken DeSormo being a winner of the Kentucky Derby twice, it has more confidence in this horse, he told me, than any horse he's ridden. I mean, he went on Fusaichi Pegasus, who's, you know, not only a great horse, but became a great stallion and you know, a champion stallion.
Right.
Now, he's ridden great horses, and he has more confidence in this one. So I don't think he's worried about being on the lead or any adjustments that he has to make with Big Brown.
Right. Now, is this a particularly big horse? Is this a large horse, Big Brown?
You know, I haven't seen him except on TV. He looks like he's built well. You know, he's got a beautiful stride when I watch him on TV, but I haven't seen him physically in person, so I couldn't tell you the size of him. But, you know, his stride surely covers a lot of ground, and he's very efficient with his stride. It looks like he uses very little energy. When he won the Florida Derby, he won from the 12 hole, and that was the first horse that had done that the whole meet, but he didn't break that sharp. He didn't get left, but he didn't break that sharp. And you saw Kent just barely move on him. And within just a couple strides, he was down on the fence and he was laying second right off the leader and very comfortable. So, you know, it gives him a chance if he's in the 20 hole. If he does break a little bit slow, if you're in the 9 hole and a couple of them come together, which is, you know, likely that somebody's going to get squeezed somewhere in this middle gate. That's not going to happen to him, and he can overcome it because he's got that quick acceleration.
Right. All right, Eric Greider is with us. How is it determined which horses come out of which gate?
Well, it's somewhat randomly drawn. They'll draw a pill, there'll be a bunch of numbers in a bottle, and they'll shake it up, and they'll draw a card that might have a horse's name on it. It might be Court Vision that is the first one pulled out. A guy will shake the bottle. He'll pull out a number, it'll say number 4. Now, when he gets number 4, or he'll say, you know, whatever it might be, if he's the first one drawn out, he has to go. It's differently done in the Derby. In most races, they would pull the pill, and that would be the number that they draw would be the post position you get.
Right, but here they can decide, but they have to decide of a higher number, not a lower number.
If they get drawn first, if Court Vision's the first one to draw, he has his choice of 20 post positions.
Oh, so I see. Okay.
It's kind of fun for people to go in there.
That is interesting.
It gives the owners a chance to be involved in it. It's not just luck of chance, you know, chance.
Right.
Of just wherever you get. I mean, there is some strategy to it. Some of it we all think too much about a lot of things in racing. And, you know, we try and think we know what a horse wants. And a lot of times we overthink it. And if we just left it alone, the horse would show us what he wants. But
now, Aaron, have you been in the Kentucky Derby?
I've ridden three of them.
And that must be, I mean, all the pageantry and all the, you know, the hoopla leading up to the race must just be, completely overwhelming.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, it's not the biggest race in the world as far as money won, but if you ask anybody that doesn't know horse racing, or you tell them you're involved in racing, the first question they ask is, have you ever won the Kentucky Derby, or have you ever ridden the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's like me. I just got into it last week.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's why I asked you.
Well, I heard it was because of you. They went up to $2 million instead of $1 million for the first.
Hey, how many people are they expecting out of Churchill Downs tomorrow?
Well, it always gets over 100,000, but it's, a good friend of mine that was best man at his wedding became vice president of Churchill this year, and he was just hoping that it wouldn't rain, and they had called for rain yesterday and today, but now they're calling for it tomorrow as well. But I bet you they still have 120,000 people because it's such an event, and it's sad because a lot of people come out there for the beauty of it. I mean, they enjoy the event, but they enjoy the fashion show, the hats, beautiful women.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, a lot of it's that.
Yeah, you know what's nice about watching the Kentucky Derby, and I've only seen it once in person. I think it was 1981. We drove down from Toledo, Ohio to look at it. But when you're sitting in the stands, like a lot of novice, you know, bettors will go to the Kentucky Derby. You know, there might be 5,000 or 6,000 people in the stands who've never seen a horse race before. And when the horses go off, and they come across that finishing line the first time, a lot of ladies are cheering and holding those tickets up going, yes, we won! We won! Look at that! And people have to slowly, you know, tap them on the shoulder and go, no, we got another lap to go, baby. All right, Aaron, now we thank you for coming on, buddy. Now, if you had $1,000 tomorrow, who would you put it on?
Well, I just hope I do have $1,000 tomorrow, period. I'm going to check. You got me worried now.
He bet Victor's Cry in the fourth at Hollywood Park, I guarantee you. His horse in the fourth.
All right, if you had $1,000 to lay on this race, who would you go with? Big Brown?
Well, the numbers and everything say Big Brown. There's a lot to overcome being he's probably going to have to lay off the pace, which I don't think is a problem for him. But, a horse that's only run three times, Curlin tried it last year. And as great a horse as Curlin is, they need time to develop. So I don't know if he's that good to overcome that. I'd love to see Colonel John run well. He's the West Coast best horse, I think.
Right.
He's never run on a dirt track, but I don't think it's going to be an issue. More horses that run on the poly tracks or the synthetic racetracks can make the transition over to dirt tracks as opposed to the other way around. So I think he's going to run well. Adriano is a closer that I think is well fed. And Prado, who won on Barbaro, chose him over two other horses, so I think he's got a good chance.
Excellent. Now, will all the jocks tomorrow, while the race is going on, Hollywood Park won't run a competing race, will everybody sit there and watch it with the same intensity that everybody at Churchill does?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's fun, and, for the 35 of us that'll be in the jockeys room at Hollywood Park, it's still exciting for us because that's the race all year long. I mean, starting on Sunday, that's the race we're pointing for next year. I mean,
right.
You know, you look for every 2-year-old that's running now and you hope that's your Kentucky Derby opportunity. And, you know, it's something that is exciting. And they'll probably have a couple little pools in the room, you know, $10 pools where you just get lucky and pick a number. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, to see a 20-horse field, which you don't see that often, to see 3-year-olds carrying 126 pounds, which will never happen again, and see them going 1.25 miles, which 12 out of the 20 will never run again, it's quite a race, and that's why the best horse that you think on paper doesn't always have to win.
Right. All right, Aaron, we thank you for calling up, buddy. Really appreciate it. I know it's awfully late for you.
I'm glad you got an hour show and I get 4 minutes.
I know it's late for you. What time
Doug O'Neill's in charge here.
What time do you wake up every morning?
About 4:15.
Oh, boom! All right.
Boom.
All right. We'll catch you out there tomorrow, buddy.
All right, great.
All right, thanks, there he goes, man. Aaron Grider, everybody, one of the nicest people around.
Best.
And not only a great athlete, but a very nice guy as well. Ted Ziegenbusch remains with us. Mark Verge. We'll try to talk to Doug O'Neill. Maybe we'll get him on the phone. And Jimmy Costello, plus another trainer's going to call. We got a ton of people here, and everybody's looking at Big Brown so far. At least everyone is giving it a shot. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. We're trying to figure out who's going to win the Derby here. If you want to chime in, 520-9710. That's 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. And we're live at 97.1 Free FM.
The day the young folks roll on the little cabin floor, all merry, all happy and bright.
Well, we couldn't get anyone else to show up regularly. Except him.
What an a-hole.
The Tim Conway Jr. Show on 97.1 SoCal's FM talk station.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Sitting here with Ted Ziegenbusch and Mark Verge, a couple of degenerates who you'll find walking around one of these great tracks, either Santa Anita, Hollywood Park, or Del Mar. And a very good trainer, a guy who had a $69 winner on Sunday, trained by Mr. Doug O'Neill. Doug, how are you, sir?
Hey, good evening, you guys.
Hey, look at you, dude. Hey, you know what? I got to be honest with you. I've gotten so many tips from the Verge O'Neill camp that this Sunday's tip didn't mean much, and it paid $69. The only one I didn't bet $100 to win on.
Got to have the faith, Tim.
Yeah,
every now and
like,
then we're right.
I know. But if I bet $100 every time you gave me a tip, I'd be busted up. Hey, so who do you like here tomorrow, Doug? I know you're a great trainer, and you got a ton of horses there. And I'm sure you have the inside scoop, so give us the release here.
I'm going with, you know, I don't have the form right in front of me, but I believe it's a horse named Z Fortune, Steve Asmussen's horse.
Z Fortune?
Is it Z Fortune with Robbie Alvarado? I know he's riding him.
Copying my pick.
Hey, now, did you say that? How about the slow news day today with Verge being in the business section of the LA Times.
Is that right?
That is a slow news day.
Business section of the Times. Turn to page two, Conway, when you get bored, if you're sitting on a potty, whatever.
You won't be that bored, trust me.
Was it closing up another West Side Rentals location?
Help from China.
Invaded workers.
All right, so Z Fortune, and what was the other horse?
Actually, there's a couple. I like that Visionaire a little bit. That's the horse, Michael Matz, the great trainer of Barbro, is back at it this year. I think he's got a big chance. And
right.
I just think Big Brown's going to be bet way down. He's trained by an amazing guy who wins at a huge percentage. But I just think from the 20 hole, man, he's just a great horse to try to beat. All the money's going to go on him, and I think you're going to get a lot of good odds on a horse that have just as equal of a chance to win it.
Play Big Brown, Tim. Play Big Brown.
Okay.
Pound it.
Yeah,
mortgage
out. Yeah, if I bet $2 on it, it's not going to make it to the finish line the first time around. All right, but you're going to watch out the Hollywood Park tomorrow?
The Verge House.
Actually, I think at the Verge's house.
Oh, is that right?
A little derby party. You're invited.
Wow.
You got
anything running tomorrow in case this derby doesn't help us out?
I've got one horse in. I think it's the 8th race. He's been off about 6 months, though, and it'd be like betting me in the LA Marathon. It just ain't going to happen.
Uh-uh.
Anything can happen, I guess, but I wouldn't bet on this one.
Yeah, but you know what? That's usually when it wins, so I'm going to go out there tomorrow and bet. When O'Neill says, I got no shot, that thing wins by 8 lengths. All right, man. Well, we'll see you out there maybe on Sunday then.
Have a great night.
Thanks, buddy.
Wills.
Take care of yourself.
You got it, man.
All right, there he goes. Doug O'Neill, a great trainer at Hollywood Park, Santa Anita, Del Mar, and the Fairgrounds. And he likes the exact two horses that Mark Verge likes.
I'm telling you.
Is that a coincidence?
Cheating on me again. Checking over my shoulder again. Jesus.
All right, let's talk to Eric and El Segundo. Who do you like out there, dude?
Hey, Mark, it's Eazy-E.
Oh, hey, how you doing, Eazy-E?
Hey, good,
long
Mark.
Long time.
Yeah, no, I just read, Pat told me, he said, hey, my brother's going to be on the radio, so I bet
you
call.
I like it.
All right, who do you like tomorrow, dude?
Hey, whoever Mark likes, you know.
Pound Z Fortune, I like it.
Anthony in Santa Monica, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, I have a question for the West Side Rentals guy. How much would it cost in today's rental market to rent a stable at Hollywood Park for a month?
I'll put you in. Doug lives there. We got to call Doug.
You know, dude. You guys are busting your West Side Rentals balls. All right, Aaron in Los Angeles, you're at 97.1.
I don't know if you can gauge what kind of guest you were, if you have to call in to ask your own questions.
Oh, man, Aaron Ryder.
I mean, come on. before I was...
This is Aaron Ryder, folks. This is a jock we had on a little while ago. And right. Did you leave your wallet or your keys?
No, before you guys sent me to bed early.
Oh.
I wanted to ask a question. Like, there's always a 20-horse field. And if you look back in the 80s and or even early 90s, I think the fields were much more competitive when they had from 12 to even 16 horses.
Right.
But, they were much deeper fields. But the last 5 years, they've always had 20-horse fields. And since 97, there's always been a 20-horse field that's been entered, but some have scratched, you know, until then. But if you look at the fields, and it's always done by graded earnings, why the horses get in. But I've always felt that to make it a deeper and a better race, I think the first 12, which is what fits in a normal gate, should be, you know, on earnings. And obviously those horses that have earned that spot should, you know, will definitely be because they won the bigger races,
right,
the bigger preps. But I think there should be a committee to invite, you know, it's fine if there's a 20-horse field, but there should be a committee that could invite, I think, up to the other 8 horses to be involved in that race, because there's a lot of horses in there that could win a race such as maybe a race at Sunland, which isn't graded right now, but
right,
it's a $600,000 stake that you get mediocre horses in. And you can do that in different parts of the country, but
no, you know what, that's exactly right.
They don't belong there. And to me, you go to Dubai and it's the best race day in the world, and they're all invited. It's not
right
about earnings. You have to have a committee that invites every single horse, and to make it the best,
Aaron,
I think that you should have that.
You know what, this is so weird that you call back, because...
you were going to call me?
No. This is my last broadcast. I'm spearheading a movement. I'm leaving radio and spearheading a movement starting Monday to try to get that, the first 12 are based on earnings. That's weird.
You
called back.
We got a year to get it done. We got a year to do it.
Okay. All right, buddy. Thanks for calling again. Call us back in about 5 minutes.
All right, bye.
All right, there it goes. All right, Aaron Greider, everybody. Ted Ziegenbusch is with us, also Mark Verge. Here's who we have so far, ladies and gentlemen, if you're keeping score. Ted Ziegenbusch loves Colonel John and Big Brown. Mark Verge is going with Z Fortune and Visionaire. Is that right?
Visionaire.
All right.
And I'm going to throw Court Vision in there, too, because Doug's jinxing me by going with my same horses.
You can't pick one. Why are you going to pick three?
I'll take Visionaire out and take Z Fortune and Court,
all right,
Court Vision, because Doug, come on, man. That's a kiss of death.
All right. Aaron Greider's with Big Brown. We're still looking for Jimmy Costello's pick. And my dad's going Big Brown. Tim Conway's going Big Brown. And Doug O'Neill, Z Fortune and Visionaire. So write these down, and on Monday we'll tell you who kicked ass over the weekend. All right, when we come back, we'll have another trainer. Plus, we'll also try to get Frankie Renzulli, that degenerate, and see
best
who he likes. He's actually, you know where he is tonight? He couldn't come in. He's out at Santa Anita betting the Derby for tomorrow.
Love that guy. He's all class.
And so he's going to actually lose 24 hours before it actually goes off. All right, this is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM.
And raised in the trees of western Kentucky on wobbly knees, with mama beside you to help you along, you'll soon be a growing up strong.
Hey, call Tim Conway Jr. now, 520-9710.
520-9710.
The Tim Conway Jr. Show on 97.1 SoCal's FM talk station.
The sun shines bright
in the old Kentucky.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're trying to figure out the Kentucky Derby for tomorrow. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Mark Verge joins us from WestsideRentals.com, a complete degenerate out the track. And also Ted Ziegenbusch, a classier degenerate than Mark Verge. All right, let's talk to Nadine Anderson here. She can talk to us about Bob Blackjack, sort of like a local story running in the Kentucky Derby tomorrow. Nadine, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Now, were you the original trainer of Bob Blackjack?
Bob Blackjack was started at our farm, and I probably put the first saddle on him.
Is that right? And that's in the Inland Empire, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Where the 215 and the 15 meet there. And that horse was originally sold for what, $2,500?
No, $4,500.
$4,500. Wow, what a ripoff. And the horse's earnings over his lifetime, which is only, 3 years, $442,000.
Right.
That is quite an investment.
Wow.
I'm on the opposite ends of those. So anyway, they took it from your farm, and where did they eventually train this horse?
The horse was training at Santa Anita.
Right. And he did pretty well. Like, he came in second or third to behind Colonel John, didn't he? Second?
Yeah, he was only beaten a half a length behind Colonel John. Well, and he also holds a world record for 6 furlongs.
6 furlongs. Wow. Is that right?
Right. Yes.
Wow. So that might be an interesting horse. A horse has obviously never run this distance. But that's a nice local story. Bob Blackjack, born and raised here in the Inland Empire.
Right.
And is in the Kentucky Derby, and originally the horse sold for $4,500.
The other thing that's really interesting about him is that Proud Spell won today. And Proud Spell is Mr. Prospector on top of Northern Dancer, her breeding. And Bob Blackjack's Dam has the same breeding. So
wow.
It might play in. We're really, really excited about tomorrow.
All right, now Nadine, I know you're probably born and raised around horse racing and around these horses. Other than Bob Blackjack, if you had to pick a horse tomorrow, who do you like?
I like Colonel John a lot, and I like Gallego. Gallego has a lot of upfront speed. He's a really, really strong horse. I heard that he's training exceptionally well. We've had horses training with Paulo Lobo, and he is a very, very good trainer.
All right, so we'll put you down for Colonel John and Gallego.
Right.
All right. All right, Nadine, we're going to give you something for coming on because I know you're staying up way past your bedtime. Hold on one sec. We're going to send you a copy of Charlie Wilson's War, and we'd love to talk to you on Monday if Bob Blackjack does anything.
All right. That'll be great.
All right. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, you take care of yourself. All right, hold on one second. Charlie Wilson's War on DVD, Tom Hanks, Julie Roberts, and Philip Seymour Hoffman, Ziegenbusch's favorite actor, is a true story of Charlie Wilson's part in arming Afghanistan in their war against the Soviet Union, out on DVD. All right, before we get out of here, actually, let me give a couple of these out, because at 10 o'clock we're going to run Jay Leno and Arsenio Hall, so let me give these out. Jimmy in Santa Monica. We're going to give you a 4-pack of tickets to see Los Angeles Avengers take on the New York Dragons on May 10th at the Staples Center. It's nonstop fast-action football. Go to LAAvengers.com for all the latest arena football information. And then Fritz in Los Angeles, you're going to get yourself a pair of tickets to Lux 5 Events, the luxury event of the season. It's all going down at the Santa Monica Air Center's Barker Hangar, Saturday, May 10th. Go to lux5events.com. And then the first caller that calls 520-9710 is going to get a pair of tickets to the King of the Cage. Wow. Opposing Force at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino, May 15th. For the first time ever, San Manuel plays host to the live pay-per-view event. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. First person to call, 520-9710. All right, let's wrap it up real quickly. One more time, Ziegenbusch, who do you like?
Colonel John.
And Big Brown.
And Big Brown second, yeah.
All right, now Colonel John will probably be the second favorite. Big Brown would probably be the chalk, right?
Probably.
All right, so you're going to...
Cowboy Cal is an outsider there.
All right, now you're going to play the exacta? Now, if you had real balls, you'd play it one way.
Probably. No, I'm not going to. Probably play the
that?
Trifecta. I know, I listened to your tip. Your dad told you, the best thing he ever told you was always box the exacta.
I agree. Fatherly advice.
Yeah, I remember that stuff.
I told my dad that it happened to me in third grade. But anyway, always box the exacta. Jimmy Costello always plays it flat.
You're kidding.
Always plays it flat, and he torches himself, man. Kidding. He plays it 3-2. It comes in 2-3. He doesn't have
all
a box. He always has it one way. He's a one-way better, man. All right, so Ziegenbusch likes Colonel John and Big Brown. Mark Verge?
Z Fortune to Court Vision.
Z Fortune. Oh, a little change there.
Little
to Court
change.
Vision. Vision. Stealing Costello's thunder.
Yeah, I like Costello.
All right, Aaron Grider, a great jockey here in Southern California.
He's on the phone
again.
He's on again.
Yeah, he's on complaining about the temperature in the jocks room. Please, Aaron. All right, Aaron Grider likes Big Brown. Jimmy Costello is going with Court Vision. My dad, Tim Conway, is going Big Brown. Doug O'Neill, Z Fortune, and Visionaire. And Nadine Anderson's going with Colonel John and Gallego. I believe it's Gallego.
She likes her Bob Blackjack, right?
Colonel John and Gallego. Yeah, well, she's, you know, other than Bob Blackjack. All right, and then here's my pick, folks. This is I'm going with the chick.
The XX special.
I'm going with the chick. I'm going with the chick with the cans tomorrow. The only chick in the race, I believe, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
There's only one girl in the race tomorrow, and her name is Eight Bells. And she's won four in a row, and I think she's going to beat all the boys tomorrow. So Eight Bells. I'm going with Eight Bells. Remember that horse?
Wow.
Sons of bitches. Yeah. And when I clean up, you guys will all think I'm the king of horse racing.
You are the king.
Thank you very much. All right, guys, thanks for coming by.
For
always nice
us.
To see
hey,
Ted
you.
Ziegenbusch. You can hear him on the coast.
That's right.
And what was the other station you were doing? The Fish for a while?
The Fish. Yeah.
Look at you. You're all over the place.
All over.
When are you on the coast? What?
7 to midnight, Saturday and Sunday nights, and whenever anybody
fantastic.
Leaves town.
I tell you, my wife, man, every time when you were on 5 nights a week, went to bed every night listening to that.
10 to 10.
Love songs
now
on the coast,
her.
Man.
You just call her up.
Yeah. We should have you over the house sitting in the bed between us
there
and
you go.
Do some songs. All right, Mark Verge with WestsideRentals.com.
Actually, Mark Verge is going to do the push for the John Wood and Vince Scully.
Oh, yeah. When's that going on?
Sales go on Wednesday, 10 a.m.
And what is that? You got to talk about the mic.
June 13th, they have the big event with John Wooden and Vince Scully at the Nokia Theater.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and all the
Vince Scully and John Wooden?
Vince Scully and John Wooden.
Wow.
Together
that,
on stage,
man.
June 13th. Jeez. It's going to be huge.
All right, June 13th at
Nokia Theater. Tickets go on sale this Wednesday at 10 a.m.
All right, Nokia Theater on June 13th.
With all my money, I went on the Derby.
All right, I'm just BSing them. All right, folks, we got to take a break here. Don't forget, at 10 o'clock, Jay Leno and Arsenio Hall, and then Adam Carolla comes back on the show.
Are you serious?
Yes. So, yeah, I'm serious, Doug. You know, kidding.
And then Aaron Grider.
Yeah, Aaron Grider will come back. And talk to us about the fact that the jocks aren't cutting their nails and the starting to hurt the horses. All right, gang. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Good luck with the Derby tomorrow, everybody. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.